You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
The JAC has closed its doors for another day, so as it's Wednesday, it's time to speak to Skulklo, portfolio manager at PSG Wealth Old Oak Division in Cape Town. Nice picture I saw on, I think it was LinkedIn actually, Skulk, of some gathering of the PSG Old Oak Division. Got a very optimistic and vibrant looking team there.
Thanks, Lindsay. Yeah, it's the PSG Old Oak team, and not PSG, but that specific team is, this month, 10 years old. So
Very good.
We had a bit of a gathering. Yeah, it was quite the gathering and quite the celebration.
Good. Well, I won't go into that because we've got to talk about other things. The volatility. Well, we didn't speak last week, and that was my fault because I had to sit in a I hate admin, but anyway, I'll pass on that one as well. But the volatility in resources stocks, and I'm not specifying with gold here, I'm being general with resources stocks. I think it was last Friday, we had an incredible day with stocks, really big stocks, you know, in the South African context, 10, 9, 8% higher. And then suddenly, I think it was either the Monday or the Tuesday, all turned round again and they gave it up. And today we've got companies like Impala going up 9% or so. Is this a good or a bad sign, this volatility, Skulk?
I would say, funny enough, one of the team members asked me the same thing, and because they, it's a younger team, younger team member. He said, he's just been watching Bloomberg, and they mentioned that the US VIX volatility there shot up to over 17%.
That's quite big. Not historically, not huge, but recently.
That's it. We know that. The people that only entered the market over the, let's call it, past 2 years, a shot up to 17% is sort of a massive movement, because the U.S. market has got used to these very, very low volatility. They tend to, it only goes up. Go one way. You go up, you invest in one of these magnificent seven, Fab Four, Terrible Twos. I don't know what you call them these days, but you invest in them and they just go one way. They don't understand volatility. And you actually, your feedback was wonderful. You said, well, that's not a lot. I agree. 17% is actually still, in my books, low. When you look at volatility on equity markets, South African market, 20, 21% on average, it's not a bad thing. U.S. markets, I would say 20%, 21% annual volatility, not a bad thing. So yes, 17% is much higher. I think it was Warren Buffett, and please, if I'm wrong, don't shoot me. I mean, I think it was him that said, well, you should be very, very nervous. Not just the be fearful when everyone's nervous when everyone's fearful, but you actually, put it down to the actual volatility. When you see single figure volatility, you should be really, really careful. Below those 10% levels, be careful, because that's usually when
people are sanguine. People are being complacent. In other words, they think, "Well, that's it. This is a great market. You don't need to worry." And option activity, I think, what it is, it's the volume and propensity to invest in call or put options, and people are not doing that because they think my portfolio is fine. So there's no volatility, and I agree with you entirely. If you get 7-8 on the VIX index for too long, and you say, "Wait a second, now is the time to buck the trend and buy some puts or something."
Exactly, and we had, sitting with the graph in front of me, the Chicago Board of Exchange, or CBOE volatility index, for the past 6 months. I think I'm looking at an average of about 12-13%. And people think, wow, what a shot up! Currently 18%. What a massive move! Come on, this is where I think people will get hurt, because they would think, oh, this is buying opportunity. Well, Warren Buffett said he'll only look at the market as a buying opportunity, when the VIX is trading you know, above 40-45%. So, you know, yeah, that's usually crash scenarios, and that's where you buy when everyone is fearful. So for now, I do agree. I think we've definitely seen higher volatilities, but do we see high volatilities? Not at all. Now back to your question on the commodities. I think it's as if everybody just woke up now and realized, wait a minute. I mean, most countries, wait a minute. We spend so much on IT, you know, AI and all those things, but the general maintenance of roads, building maintenance, building you know, road infrastructures, railway infrastructures, all those things have sort of been neglected. We've had COVID. We're not a lot of people in drove, and that was sort of postponed because we had to send the general U.S. citizen a check in the to keep them, you know, buying, keeping the economy. And it's as if everybody just realized, well, the infrastructure spend has stayed behind, and Mr. Market has now caught up to this. And I think to a certain extent, this is what we're seeing, you know, happening. Yeah, you know, 5.3% growth on the U.S. Chinese economy was a bit of a surprise, and maybe could, you know, escalate the problem somewhat. But I still think the underspending that most countries has done in terms of the budgets has now caught up to them. And I personally still think the commodity cycle is not done yet, not by a country mile. And when you look at specific demand, supply and demand from a PGM point of view, and now I'm not talking gold, I'm talking PGM, the demand outstripped the supply by quite a bit last year, for the past 12 months, yet these prices came down. Why did the prices come down? So somebody is playing around. Somebody's playing with futures and options. And that usually is a very, very interesting situation because somebody's going to be right and somebody is going to be
wrong. Well, this is it. And I'm repeating myself because I've said it before, probably to you, and I said it before to Wayne McCurry just about half an hour ago. And I said, an old boss of mine, when I used to be in the markets, he said, when you get this sort of swing, 10% up one day, 10% down the next, a market's going all over the place, and the bulls are positioning themselves in one position and the bears in the other, it's usually indicative of a change of trend. So if the resources stocks are close to the bottom of historical lows, then that sort of action means, yeah, it's going to start to go up, and vice versa if it's at the top of its historical range. So I don't know. Maybe that's something to look at. I haven't got a long-term resources, JSE resources index chart in front of me, but you doubtless have. I don't know. Is it low enough to warrant applying that theory?
Yeah, I think it is still low enough. I think when you just look at the CRB commodity index. I know the CRB commodity index a little bit more. I mean, if you look at that trend, I mean, you like looking at a bit of trends and
looking
charts
at it right now.
You saw a little bit of a retracement, but not enough to actually change the trend. You know, you did this positive trend and. Looking at some of these commodity prices recently, I think we're going to see higher prices. Bringing back to inflation, inflation numbers today, I would say no surprises really. I think that's what I want to, you know, what I want to get down to. I mean, when you look at the UK inflation, 3.2% year on year, slightly higher than expected, 3.4% in February. So again, I think very much look under control-ish. Eurozone, they came in 2.4% year on year.
Number. That was last week, bucking the trend that's still persisting in the United States. Yeah.
Correct. correct. And then we had locally today, local CPI came in 5.3%. Let's celebrate the small victory. It's a 2 month low. We came down from last month's 5.6%, but I mean it's still in the upper band of where the ISA Reserve Bank want to be. We've already heard today that we're going to see a petrol price increase in May next month. So that's going to definitely be inflationary again. So I don't think inflation is really under control, and we need some of these commodities to start just being a little bit softer. I mean, as a investor in some of these commodities, I would very much like the commodity prices to stay high and even go higher, but I also know that's sort of taking from Peter to give to Paul, because from a investing, I know we can't afford this higher interest rates or even higher interest rates if inflation becomes a bit of a problem again, which will be a problem for the economy. So I think interesting scenario, interesting environment, and it's the fact why we're still seeing gold at 2,400 levels.
2385 at the moment, up $7.71 per ounce, 0.32%, according to a very, very active and accurate CRB index page. And this is a 24-hour statement, a 24-hour late statement I'm making now. The CRB commodity index rose to around 345, its highest level in nearly 2 years, driven primarily by a rally in metals. Copper, considered a barometer for the world's economy, it goes on to say, traded near a 15-month peak of $4.30 per pound, underpinned by supply threats, etc. But also, when you get a two-year high on the CRB, you just have to look at oil, because it's quite skewed towards the energy complex. And that's down today. So tomorrow it's not going to be 345, the index level of the CRB. Crude oil down 1% in the States and down 1.2% in London, the Brent crude variety. Natural gas prices down nearly 4%. Gasoline down 1.8%, all that sort of thing. So it'll be lower. But if you strip out, like they do with inflation, you strip out the volatile factors to get the core inflation. It's the same with the CRB. Strip out the energy, and that's what your real index is, I think. Any local news that we're going to have to start talking about the election quite soon.
I'm not ready for that. Nah, I'm not ready for that.
you got 6 weeks to get ready, because it's going to become a reality. And it'll probably be, there won't be any violence and there won't be any surprises, and the ANC will get into the mid-40s or something percentage of the vote, but some people are saying other things. But anyway, keep an eye on that one, Skulk. Any local news since we last spoke?
Companies? I think news was extremely quiet today on the JSE front. There was no real company news really to report back on. I would say there's quite a bit of movement, as you mentioned. I think that we can discuss a bit later. It's quite a bit of movement in some of these PGMs that we've seen today. That was really good. But from a reporting point of view, no, it was dead quiet.
I think the PGMs and other commodities that are linked heavily to South Africa enjoyed the Chinese data this morning. It was a slight surprise to the upside there, economic data. Do we trust it? Well, I don't see why we shouldn't. Right, let's have a look at some prices now. Dollar rand, it's unpleasantly high, the dollar, 1905, that currency cross. The British pound against the rand is 23.72. The euro rand is 20.27. Euro dollar 106.40. Euro slightly higher, 0.25% against the greenback, and British pound 124.50 after its inflation data, and that's a pound that is 0.2% better. Gold is 23.86, which is down just a little bit. The platinum price is virtually unchanged at $962 an ounce, and palladium is up 14 to 10.43. Let me just reiterate what I said about the energy complex. We've got West Texas crude 84.56, down nearly 1%. The Brent crude oil price is 88.99, which is down 1.1%. Natural gas is down 4% now. And and so it goes on. That copper price, 4.37 dollars per pound, up 1.5%. Silver up 1.5% as well. Wheat prices have fallen 3.2%, and so it goes on. Steel prices this morning, 2.1% higher. So there's some performances in there, Skulk. And what's great about this is that if this carries on, if the CRB does carry on, whether it's not fueled by energy, the metals are doing well. It's great for the Rand, great for the country.
Exactly. No, exactly. It's it is. We are the largest palladium producer, second largest platinum producer in the world, and by quite a bit, you know, quite far the largest rhodium producer in the world. And in every circumstances, you know, where we're the largest, the second largest is you know, it's Russia, and where we're the largest, Russia is second largest. So, I mean, and we know, you know, Russia found it difficult to deal with other countries. Not impossible. We know they're still very much active with countries like China, but we know that it's more difficult to deal with other countries. Which definitely, what's that word, makes inflation not so transitory?
Paul's word. Do you remember that when we spoke about that all those years ago, a couple of years ago, and we said, are you looking at the same screen as we are? I mean, come on now, Mr. Powell, transitory.
Yeah, but it's great how you said, you remember how we spoke about this years ago?
Yes.
Transitory implies it's just, that's temporary.
It's a temporary phenomenon. It'll blow away in the wind, but no, not at all. It became entrenched and stuffed the world up.
Exactly.
Okay. Individual movers on the JSE Securities Exchange today look like this. Impala Platinum up 7.9%. Sibanye-Stillwater, 5.1% higher. BHP Group up nearly 4%. Anglo Gold Ashanti, 3.8% to the good. And Anglo American PLC, 3.75% higher. Downside, Thungela down nearly 6%. Absa Group down 5.3%. Is that a dividend story? I don't know, but the banks have been under...
Them, yes.
Yeah.
Both of them, Thungela was 10 rand dividend and Absa was 6 rand 85 dividend.
Nonetheless, banks have been on their own on the downside as well, getting some stick recently. MTN down 4.6% and Old Mutual down just over 4%. Again, is that all a dividend story?
All dividend stories. 3.30 on MTN and 49 cents on Old Mutual.
Any other features on a quiet day on the JSE, or have I wrapped it up?
No, I think you mentioned it. I think the one thing that I just want to get back to, I mean, what will a program with Skulk Lowe be without, you know, referring to gold?
Oh, okay, yes, I've forgotten about that. We've only mentioned it four times so far. So, pull your socks up.
You know me. No, I think you know, to the listeners out there that I mean, I've been getting quite a bit of questions about gold. Should they still be invested? I mean, should they take profit if they've invested? Now, there's two parts in gold. I mean, it's interesting, you know, when you're gold investors, you know, you either buy the GLD, or just call it gold ETF, ETN, or you buy the gold miners. And in most cases, people that's got a view on gold, they tend to buy the gold miners, because, I mean, there is a bit of a hedged effect, geared effect. Actually, not a hedge effect, but a geared effect on the move. But yes, an interesting factoid. I mean, this is all in dollars. When you look at it over the past 3 years, exactly 3 years to this current trading point, the gold, or GLD,
yes,
is trading just over 33% higher in dollar terms. Currently, the gold miners, now, Anglo Gold, Goldfields make, you know, quite a, you know, they're part of the top 10 in that, let's call it ETF. The gold miners are still down over 3 years, 6% in dollar terms. So, and I just ran some data just to see.
That includes international miners as well, not just South African,
because
it's too small.
This is Barrick Gold. Yes, correct. This is the largest miners in the world. This is not, you know, our top five or only five miners in South Africa. This is the biggest of the big gold miners in the world. So, and I looked at, just for interest's sake, you know, what would be every time where they say the gold price of GLD reach a 6-month low and we see a retracement, you know, after that, what's the effect of the miners? You know, firstly, every single time we've seen the retracement, we've seen the gold miners naturally outperforming the gold price itself.
Yes.
And on average, I took out the big movers just to say, well, let's not – I mean, there was a COVID scenario where we've had a massive, massive outperformance. And I sort of excluded that. I wanted something a little bit more conservative. On a conservative basis, your movement – the gold miners usually outperform the gold price with about 1.8 to 2 times. This time around, I've done it, as I told you, 3 years, 33% higher gold price, 6% down on the gold miner. So one of two things are going to happen here. One of two things. Either Mr. Market says, we don't buy. We don't buy into this run in the gold price. I think the geopolitical unrest are going to be something of the past soon. Interest rates will be something of the past soon. We won't have any inflation problems. Interest rates will need to come back a little bit, which naturally will be not too good, for the dollar. But still, we will see everything normalize again, and gold should then drop back to your $1,700, $1,800, $1,900 per ounce. That's the one scenario. The second scenario is, these gold miners should be running 1.8 times, whatever you've seen the growth lately. And I'm getting to about 30 to 40% underperformance, for the actual gold miners. When you look at pure stats. No, don't go out and just go buy the miners, on the fact. I'm looking at pure stats. These gold miners are lagging. And if the gold price stay at current levels, they are printing. And I'm going to reiterate this. They are printing cash.
Yes.
They are extremely profitable. And in most cases, and I've looked at most of the bigger gold mines in the world, got very, very little debt. So, yeah, interesting.
It is. So someone's wrong. Either the investors in physical gold in dollar terms are way too exuberant, and they don't understand that maybe in the background the really big gold miners overseas are hedging and therefore putting a cap on the price. Or the investors in gold are just gold shares are just being way too pessimistic or not enthusiastic enough. And as soon as a couple of big fund managers come in and start buying, because let's face it, you could mop up some of these big companies could mop up all the gold share supply in the world fairly easily with the money that they've got. So yeah, it's one of the two. Who blinks first? That's the thing. I didn't give you the S&P. Yeah, S&P, couldn't it? Wasn't that long ago that I saw a print of 5,300 plus on the S&P, futures that is. It's now well below 5,100, 5,081.5 for the June futures, down 0.2%. The US 10-year Treasury bond yield, gosh, I mean, it's lost 100 basis points. It's risen, 100 basis points in the last 2 months. It was 370 now. 462 did get to 470, I think it was. Day's range, got to 4.69% at one stage. And the South African 10-year, and I put out a graph on that one a while ago, and I've been horribly right, is 10.97% now, but did hit 11.185 today, Skunk. That's the day's range, 1074 to 1118. And if this thing starts to break above the recent yield highs, then you've got some serious problems. Bitcoin is one I haven't done. That's having a bit of a day as well, down nearly 2% to 61,000 and a small amount of change. So, yeah. What about the closing JSE indices, please, Skulk? Because we were positive for most of the day, and now suddenly very slight losses.
Yeah, ask that. I mean, you actually mentioned it. I mean, I'm going to try not waste my time reading the final score on the JSE. It's down 0.01% for today. I'm gonna keep the best for last and go over to the industrial index, down 51 basis points. While the financial index, with this rand today, I mean, 1.7% down. The resource index, I mean, this is the one you called to, right at the beginning of the show. Resource index today, just south 3%, 2.82% in the green, while the SA Property Index down 1.7%. When we look at the turnover in the market, not too bad. I mean, this is the one thing, you know, that I've been fairly harsh on the South African market, you know, for quite a few months, where I mentioned we don't reach that 20 billion anymore. When you look on average, we traded 21 billion already in 2017, you know, on average per day. And, you know, beginning of the year, I think we managed to average 15 to 16 billion. Now, it's good news all around. This is now the sixth day, trading day in a row, where we surpassed the 20 billion day.
Good.
Not our 27 billion, but yet still 21.62 value traded for today. So yeah, it looks like this the South African market is attracting some interest. Let's hope it's some foreign buying.
Let's hope so. Bitcoin suddenly 3% lower, only just clinging on to 60,000. There is some activity in the market. The S&P looks a little bit vulnerable to me. I hope not. But anyway, we'll see, and we'll chat about it next week.
It's fighting for that 5,000. I mean, 5,000. I mean, as you mentioned, coming off 5,500, now trading 5,026 points. Let's see. I mean, this is going to be interesting. If it breaks that 5,000, I mean, that's psychological, I know. But
the breakout level, according to an esteemed technical analyst that I speak to fairly regularly, says, it looks as though 4,800 might be tested. And he said the uptrend has already been broken at these levels. So watch out. And it does sort of tie into all sorts of geopolitical and political stories that we are bombarded with every day. Skulk. Okay, thanks very much for your time as always. Skulk Lowe is a portfolio manager at PSG Wealth Old Oak Division in Cape Town. And that was the 5 o'clock shadow. The views and opinions expressed in these podcasts are those of Lindsay Williams and various contributors and do not reflect the policy, position, or opinion of any other agency, organization, employer, or company associated with strictlybusinesspodcast.com. Assumptions made on the analyses are not reflective of the position of any other entity other than the speaker or the author. And since we are critically thinking human beings, these views are always subject to change, revision, and rethinking at any time. Please do not hold us to them in perpetuity.